Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is your host, Chris Richmond, for another episode of For Men Only. That's right, For Men Only. So, ladies, tonight it's not about you. This is about brothers coming together for a live discussion, and we want to simply jump right into it. So, listen, many of you all know that every fourth Monday we do a segment called Man Talk, and I am delighted and excited. I am peacock proud and hog tickled that you are joining me tonight. I know there's a number of things that you could be doing, but tonight we are going to talk about secrets, skeletons, and sins. That's right. Let me say that again. Secrets, skeletons, and sins. So I'm excited because, you know, this is a platform that avails itself to men, for men to come together, and whether you're listening right now by replay or a podcast, or if you're listening live to the show online, or if you've dialed in, I want to welcome you all for tuning into the show. As you know, I say it every time that we come together, but the purpose of the Man Talk is about empowering men to really get in the game. That's right, fellas. We've got to get in the game, and that's why you hear the theme music as we start the show off, by helping men learn how to express their inner voice, articulate their opinion. We challenge them a little bit on their perspectives, and we help them walk in the unadulterated love of Jesus Christ on and off the field. That's right, both on and off the field. See, it's equivalent when you're on the field and you're playing and giving it your all, and it's most important how you play when you're off the field. So let's put that in perspective. So whether you're the father trying to do everything that you can while you're working to build a relationship with rapport with your children, when you come home, you're off the field. You may go to work and be on the field, but when you come home, you're off the field. So what you do when you're at home is equally as important as what you do when you're at work. And so tonight we're going to talk about this whole thing for mentally. How do you keep secrets from waking up your past? I heard some alarming news this past week, you know, and I thought that this was important because we all have secrets. So how do you keep your secrets from waking up your past and keep your past from interfering with your future? Well, that's something that we're going to talk about tonight. And is sex the answer? For men, many times we will tend to self-medicate on this thing called sex. It's kind of our drug of choice. Well, is that necessarily the real answer? And does that provide the solutions that we need? Then we're going to talk about, does drinking solve the issue? For many, they may turn to drinking. So is drinking just merely leaving you intoxicated, or is it really helping you to solve something? And last, what does money have to do with it? Will more money make it go away? Will it make it better? And we're going to talk about some more things as well. But what I want you to do, this is a song that I have, and this is so appropriate. I'm going to play this song, and then right after this song comes in, we'll be right back in to talk about more. So stay tuned. We're going to get right back into it in just a hot second.
I
you heard, talking about secrets. But you know what? We did a show similar to this a little while back about secrets and all that. And I think it's important because, like I said, I started the show and I said I heard some alarming news this weekend. And I think it's important because we talk. This is a segment specifically for men. Ladies, again, you can listen only, but you're in listen only mode. I want to talk to the brothers tonight, and I want to talk about the secrets. See, I think the secrets that you're not telling are the skeletons waking up and knocking on your door. And I think that there are everybody has a secret. And I did a little survey. I looked in a little research, I should say, and there was a survey and information that was out there that was called I found on Psychology Today. And it, you know, surveyed, you know, ages between, let's say, 16 to 72 years of age. Was survey done, and it surveyed a few hundred people just for this particular survey, okay? So that being said, it took a consensus, and it found that three-quarters of them were female, and there was a certain percentage that were heterosexual, two-thirds were married or in a serious relationship. So based on the survey, the results that there were secrets that 60% of the participants admitted to keeping at least one secret from their partner. And at such point, and then about 25 said that they were currently keeping such a secret in their relationship. So my question is, and there were 355 people that were surveyed, so for the data people out there, my question is, what secret are you keeping? What's the secret that you're hiding and keeping from, trying to think that you're keeping from others, but your secret telling on your story? And sometimes your secret is, it's telling, you've embraced it to be that this is your lie, that this is your truth. So I think in order for us to understand what is a secret, let's define secret. So let's go back to the basis and come up with a baseline. Well, definition by dictionary says that it's a known or it's a secret is not known or seen or not meant to be known or seen by others. That's what a secret is. So, you know, something that you kept from others that you didn't want to be seen at all. So it's a state of secrecy. It's almost like I was kind of looking up something earlier, and I was had to be a little careful because I started looking up spies and stuff like that. You know, and a spy goes in and finds a secret that another country is keeping, or they pay somebody to find the secrets within that same country to do so. And so here we are as men. We're faced with an everyday struggle. We're faced for trying to find ourselves not being extinct. And I know it's difficult at times because it's challenging to be a man in today's culture, and yet alone to be an African-American man, as challenging as that may be in itself, just to find yourself not losing yourself within today's culture and the way things are done. But when we talk about secrets, you know, think about it this way. Oftentimes, we'll go in with a lie. I mean, it could be a secret so simple as, you know, let's say you're dating. Let me speak to the single brothers who are out there and they're in the dating arena. Well, a secret could be you found a significant young lady who you think has found interest, and what the problem is that you want to keep something from her because you don't want her to know something about you. And so what you're keeping from her might be something. The truth is that, you know, you tell her that you are, you know, you got your PhD, or you lie about your education, or you lie about your, you know, your sexual status, or you lie about some of your financial status. And that's one of the things that women have a big pet peeve about with brothers, is that they'd rather you tell the truth than tell me a lie. Give me the truth up front so that I know what my options are. And that was, I think that's really important. So a lot of brothers will go in many instances saying, hey, you know, I'm looking for a single serious relationship, yet alone you're still playing games. And so we've got to get to a point where we are willing to be honest with ourselves and tell ourselves the truth. I got a good friend that's out there. We've been friends and boys for years. But at the end of the day, hey, everybody, we were boys. Some people are still playing boyish games, you know. And it's not intentional. It's so unintentional. But because that becomes a behavior and he just told himself a lie, he's bought into and subscribed to the lie for so long, it almost becomes his truth. And so yet alone, we are challenged by that, you know, every day that we wake up. What truth are we going to tell, or what lie are we going to share, you know, or not share, should I say, you know. So I think it's important. Now, I want the brothers to jump in tonight. Feel free. This is not me just driving solo here tonight. My boy Ed's, you know, in the car driving now. He's normally on. But if you want to dial in, it's 619-924-0869. Just press 1 on your phone and share your comment, your thoughts, and let's talk about this whole thing called secrets. What do you think are secrets today that we as men are not telling people? And this could be a generalization, of course, unless you've got some data to back it up. What's the one biggest thing that you think we need to learn tonight as we talk about this whole thing called secret skeletons and sin? Well, I want to hear from you. 619-924-0869. Just press 1 on your phone, and or if you're listening online, also share with us on your Facebook group. Go to the Facebook group page. It's The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Again, that's The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. I'd be delighted to invite you into the group page to share our comments and everything else here. If not, we're going to keep this thing moving. Again, if I see you on the board, just press option 1 if you want to share a comment or a response. Look forward to it. If not, you can also post your comments in there. And here's a couple housekeeping things, real simple. I'm going to give you one. We can stick to this. We can agree to disagree, and that's okay. That means everybody has a perspective. Everybody has an opinion. It doesn't necessarily make your opinion right, wrong, or the other person's lesser. But we agree on this show, real simple. We can challenge the message, but we never attack the messenger. Point blank. That's really it. So that being said, those are the ground rules for tonight. If you want to share a comment or so, just dial in 619-924-0869. If not, let's keep it moving. All right. So we laid out the statistical data there about secrets. So I think it's important for us to kind of understand what are secrets and why do people keep secrets. You know, we talked about the definition of secrets, so we're working from a basic foundation right now or a baseline of that. But people keep secrets, and this is based on Psychology Today. I found this article, and I thought that was interesting. Some research that had already been done. And it just shows. Now, this is both men as well as women, okay? So just in this survey that was done. But first and foremost, particularly for women, if we look at women, why women keep secrets, they don't want their partner's feelings to be damaged, you know, in their relationship. So for married people in particular, keeping a secret allows them to avoid their partner's disapproval. That's one thing. You know, we tell ourselves that I don't want to face rejection. I don't want to be shunned. Is it really to save face value for them, or is it really to protect something from us? Is it something that we are keeping, you know? And why do we keep walking in this unknown truth about this secret? I remember at one point in time, for me, you know, many of you all know some of my story and that I've shared with you before, formerly married. I was living a secret at that time. See, I was struggling because there were some things that were going on in the home, and my outlet at that time within my secret was pornography. And I struggled with that for years. See, I was introduced to it at a very early age. I think I was about 16 when I first remember watching pornography. And back then, it was only in magazines. You know, we had VHS, Beta, in that back in the day. But over time, the evolution of it changed. You could have it on your phone. You could have it anywhere. You had access to internet access. And the easeability of it became very easy to have access to it. So when I felt as though that, you know, something wasn't right, my first reaction was, okay, this is how I'm going to release it, you know. However, that was just only creating and exacerbating the greater issue of it. See, what happens there, fellas, and for the truth to be told, I thought that being the case, that's my secret, but my secret was soon to be revealed. You see, you can only keep a secret for so long, and ultimately it's going to knock on your door. Now, here's the thing. Let me clean that up with somebody that's listening. I know some folks that, you know, we've known who've had different journeys where they've had marital affairs. That's not my story. But they've had marital affairs, and ultimately their secret literally knocked on the door. And so that's kind of a predicament that you really don't want to be in. I don't know, haven't walked down that road, don't want to, just for the sake of our conversation tonight, because I'm talking to the bros. I want you all to know that, you know, there's an alternative to that. So here then lies the question. If we're keeping a secret, whether that's a sexual secret, whether maybe you had an issue as a child where there was some trauma that was done to you, and you know you've never really worked through that situation. See, there's a difference between coping with it and dealing with it, and some things that you can't deal with on your own, you've got to seek professional help and counseling. And you know, on this show, I am a huge advocate and proponent of getting help. Getting the professional assistance that you need, because when you are better, we are better. I say that all the time on the show, and that only can happen. You are realized. The first step is acknowledgement. Let's just say, get to the place of acknowledgement that, yes, it did happen. Now that I've technically acknowledged it, what's the next step? So we can do that, but the first thing we can't do is live in denial. See, I was in denial about my situation at the time because it was just, hey, I thought I had control over it. And a lot of times that's what we do. We think that we can control the situation when ultimately the situation is controlling us. Don't be fooled and bamboozled about it. It will control you if you don't try to control it, and sometimes you can't control it on your own. And addiction is an addiction. No matter how you look at it, whether it's a sexual addiction, whether it's an addiction with drugs, alcohol, whatever, it's an abuse. And so what happens is we take that and we just kind of continue to go down that journey thinking, oh, it's okay because no one can see me. Well, here's the thing. When you become a Christian, God is there at all times. He can see you. It's just that nobody else is telling on you. So he can see you. So you're not doing things to please people. You're doing things ultimately to please God. That's the person that, because no one, I say it all the time, no one has a heaven and hell to put you in. So what you do is only what you do. But here at the end of the day, you want to make sure you can hear the voice land above say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what you want to hear. So, hey, we're joined. My good partners here today, my road dog. Ed, that you? You with me?
Yeah, brother. Yeah, man. I'm with you, bro.
Hey, man. Welcome to the show. You jump right on in, man.
No, I'm just saying sorry I came in late, man. Yeah, but I'm on the road as usual, brother. So I said, man, let me just chime in, you know, and you know, support you in this wonderful topic. Listening to you, man, you know, one of the statements that you made, you know, that, you know, when once you become Christian, you know, you may be hiding from others, but God sees you. Well, you know, just to remind everyone, God sees you whether or not you're Christian or not. You know, God sees you. And you may think, we may think that we're getting away with sin, but there's a scripture in the Bible that says, be sure your sins will find you out. You know, it's only a matter of time. And you know, and it may be sweet in our mouth now, you know, but later on it's going to be bitter in the belly because there will be a consequence.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and that's so true, but just remember, your secret that you had then or your secret that you have today, God can still restore your situation. You know, and that's the beauty about it. Yes, he sees all, he knows all. So, you know, at our church, we have 119 different ministries at our church, and those are actual functioning ministries that are actually truly serving needs in the community. We recently had a graduation for a number of the ministries to come together. It's an annual thing. We are big in discipleship because the Bible teaches and that is the assignment for us to go out and to create the disciples. And one of – there are a number of teaching ministries. One of the ones for the women is the – I think it's the Dorcas ministry. Is it the Dorcas? No, it may not be the Dorcas. It is the one, and I'm not going to get the name correct, but just for the sake of it, it's the one where the women who have had abortion, okay? So we've got a ministry that's – hey, Ed, I'm going to mute you just for a hot second because of the feedback. All right, so we've got a ministry that's specifically for women to heal who've had previous abortions in their life. Now, here's the thing. That takes some courage, first of all, just to acknowledge that you had an abortion. Secondly, to seek help and try to make sure that your past doesn't knock on the door of your future. As we said, that things that you do at night ultimately will surface in the day, and those skeletons will come up. And so what happens is that any time that we have a history, that history, the enemy knows what that, you know, what you know, he already knows where you're going. And what he wants to do is to keep you from getting there. And so he wants to sidetrack you. And so what he'll do is use the twin cousins, guilt, shame, and blame. And he'll send those to attack you because, it's one of those things you're constantly thinking about it. You're agonizing about it. You don't sleep with it. Maybe you were dealing with some situation with some sexual sins as a child. Maybe you were molested. Maybe you had, whatever, drug abuse. Maybe you committed a heinous crime or act of murder. That's where you were. And so that's a secret that you profess. You don't really want to profess. But here's the thing. We got to get to a point in case, even as believers today in Christ, that we're not so judgmental of a person's past when they have already been that. Again, I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. So at the end of the day, no matter what your sin was, sin is still sin. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, one's lesser than the other. At the end of the day, it's still a sin. So, you know, I say it like this sometimes. I'll say this to my fiance. Hey, whether it's a big dog or a little dog, if you step in its poop, guess what? It's still poop. You know what I mean? Just no matter how big the dog was. And so, yeah, certain situations are treated differently in our culture today than the others. But, you know, when it's all said and done, What we're aiming to do is have a relationship with Christ. And as brothers, what we really want to do, man, is just at the end of the day, we need iron. And iron sharpens iron. And if we're going to be the men that we're called to be, we got to have a brother's keeper, you know. And that's the one thing that what we really, really truly have to do is look out for one another. And so, you know, if you're a brother that's listening to the show right now, I would challenge you. You know, Ed and I are accountability partners. I can call Ed and talk to him, and, you know, he can talk me off the bridge, you know, if you will, and vice versa. So I know that I've got a solid connection with him because he has a relationship with Christ, number one. I have a relationship with him as well. And although we don't see one another, we can pick up the phone and say, yo, bro, hey, man, you know, you got a minute? Let's talk. Let's talk through this. And what I love about it is he will always challenge me from a spiritual perspective, meaning, hey, man, and as a man, too, as far as my responsibilities and roles when it comes to the relationship of marriage, heading towards that direction for me. Ed's already married, but I'm going in that direction, so he wants to make sure he may be my, Ed may be my, fullback. Ed may hit the hole to make room for me, so he's running, or he's my lineman running for me so that I can get through this hole, you know, and that's what he does, you know. So anyway, I'd love to hear more from the brothers tonight on this topic of sin. You know, I recently heard something on the news last week with someone who was close was indicted on some charges for some things that he did. Now, here's the problem is this young man had and it's still, you know, he hasn't had his day in court, but he has a tremendous future ahead of him. Just newly married within the last couple of years, new baby, the whole nine. And so what you don't know, you know, you can look at the neighbor's house across the street, but you don't know what's going on in their house. You never know, because what they do behind closed doors may be something totally different. And all I'm saying to you is that every now and again, we got to check on our brothers. We got to check on one another and just be like, yo, you good? Okay, cool. Now let's be real. I had another good friend of me today who told me something that I had no clue about. See, what we got to do is, man, we got to get to a point where we're really willing to pull down that mask and take off that veneer. Because what he shared with me today, you know, it's something that I had already been through, but he kept it from me as if it was a big secret that he didn't want anybody to know. And I say that to say, Ed, what we got to do is, man, we got to put aside that pride. You know, because if pride and ego enter the room, there's no space for anything else. It sucks the oxygen right out the room. We got to put aside, you know, what kind of car we drive, what kind of house we have, what kind of clothes. All that doesn't really necessarily matter. It especially doesn't matter to Christ, because you can't take any of that with you at the end of the day. And so we're doing that, trying to profess and to be something that we're really not. And also, ultimately, we're telling ourselves a secret or a lie. And what's happening is it's knocking on our door, you know, and it's right there on our front porch.
Yes, sir.
You want to say something?
Yeah, almost definitely, brother. What I want to say is that, you know, we can't allow the superficial aspect of us to interfere, really, because all that stuff has nothing to do with relationship. You know, because the moment that superficial wears off, you know, then what is left of it? And so if we're going to build our relationship based on status, what we have, you know, I drive a nice car, you know, I have a 4-bedroom house and sitting on 2 acres of land and all that stuff, you know, okay. After a while, that means nothing, brother. As a matter of fact, you know, as you know from my crazy accent, you know, I'm not from America. I'm from Jamaica, you know. And one thing that I realized real quick coming into this country is that anybody can achieve anything in this country as long as they work hard enough for it, you know. So acquiring stuff here in America, you know, there's no need or any reason for anybody to be superficial, brother, because it's just that you got it before me. That's it.
Yeah. Hey, you know, that's true. Hey, what we got to do is we got to get to the point of where we're willing to be honest with ourselves. You know, and I think that's something that I used to always say. I can't be truthful with you if I'm not willing to be honest with me. You know, if we're going to be able to move forward and deal in truth, we got to be honest about our issues, our challenges. Now, I'm not saying we broadcast that to everybody. Absolutely not. Because everybody that's close to you don't need to know your business. I've always said this, just because we get off on the same floor don't mean we're on the same level. So we can sit on the same church pew don't mean, you know, we're going to be buddies. We can be in the same fellowship. It doesn't mean we're going to be boys. That's okay. I'm okay with that, but we need fellowship in order to get better. And we need true, real, we need true brothers that we're around us with, you know what I'm saying? So we got to have, we got to be dedicated and committed to the cause of discipleship. So, you know, whether we're giving back to our youth, and that's our challenge. You know, this past Sunday, I witnessed at our church, we give away scholarships to the youth. And we had did a dedication where every year we give away a number of scholarships, and they continue to keep those scholarships throughout their entire, you know, college journey as long as they get the grade point average of C or above, I believe it is. And so what happened is that, as Pastor called the honorees up to the stage, the boys came up on the steps, and the ladies came up right behind them. Now here's the thing, if you just heard what I said, the boys didn't know anything because they weren't taught anything. And so they come up steps, and they didn't escort and help the ladies up, man. So here was a teachable moment when they got on the platform. They on the platform now. And Pastor says, wait a minute. Here's a teachable moment. We got to do this again. And see, now I want y'all to come on down. Y'all jokers, come on back down these steps, and we're going to try this again. And when the ladies come up, you're going to assist them with their hands, okay? And see, that's what we got to do. We don't know how to be men sometimes because we were being taught by boys. And so the challenge with that, now I'm not saying, hey, man, if you had a father figure who was around or a great mentor or role model, kudos. But for the brothers that don't have that, we got to reach back, teach one another, and help one another. You know, and that's how it should be, to where we're aspiring to make sure that we're in a better environment, in a better place. So that means your nephew, you know, that you may reach out to him. My nephew, I have one nephew, he's got great potential with football. He's a middle linebacker, he's about 6'2", 6'3", and he's really good. He's been to, you know, across the board, McDonald's, the whole nine. He's got scholarship offers that he's had already. That's great. But I said, nephew, who you are on the field is one thing, like I said in the beginning of the show, but who you are off the field, they can't take that from you. Let your character be reflected both on and off the field. Fellas, now I say that to say, again, we got to shine whether we're on the field or not. And here's the thing. We got to be to thine own self, be true as to the, you know, who we really are. And know your limitations. You know your limitations. And like the brother I was telling you about who got indicted recently, my heart pours out because I knew him. And so, you know, but I didn't know, we weren't close to have his number or anything like that. But he had a secret. And it's no different from any brother that's listening to this phone right now on this line. You got a secret too, and we all do. And I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to condemn you or anything. What I'm trying to say is that, look, at the end of the day, if we don't deal with our secrets, and I'm going to mute you because of the vaccine. Hold on. If we don't deal with our secrets are going to expose us. And our secrets lead to sin. And our sin separates us from the will and direction of God where he would have us to be. So that's the part where we kind of got to get real. And, I mean, yeah, you can fall. A just man falls 7 times, but he get back up. But it's one thing to fall and to stay there and to constantly just live in that space and to accept that as if that's your justification for it. Ah, bruh, come on now. Let's get real with it. We have a higher responsibility as men. But we are called to be, and we are. It's an honor to be a man. You know what I mean? But it's a challenge in this culture now to know what a man is because we've lost the whole thing of chivalry. We've lost it. I remember back in the day, I know you're going to jump back in a minute, but I can recall back in the day growing up, I grew up in the era of the 70s. So if you were 60s, 70s, baby, you can remember men always wore hats back then. And when they walked into a building, any building, they took their hats off. That was just one of those things because at that time it was a culture thing. Honor and respect was big back in the day. It was big. Now, here's the thing. We want respect. But the here thing about it is we ain't necessarily giving respect. You know what I'm saying? We're demanding it. And here's the one thing about that. I always say respect is one of those things I typically give a person the benefit of doubt on. You know, no matter who they are, I'm not judging them. I'm just going to respect. Hey, you a man like I'm a man. And we know just the minute somebody disrespects you, how that makes you feel. You know what I'm saying? You have a tendency at that point, whether it's man, female, boy, whatever, you ain't going for disrespect. Men thrive off respect. You know, we need respect. You know, that's significant for us to have that. The moment we don't have that, that makes us act out a certain way. You know, so hey, listen, I don't want to keep rambling on. I just want to hear from the brothers tonight. If you want to share a comment, thought, question so far on the topic where we're discussing with this the secrets mean to you and the skeletons that we have. Again, we've laid out a number of things that we talked about, whether it's, you know, skeletons, whether it's sex, whether it's drugs, alcohol, whether it's heinous acts of violence, whatever, whether you were molested, whatever the case may be. Okay, this is a platform where, you know, it's about people getting help, but not at the end of the day. Now, this is not a therapeutical platform for that, and that's why I have experts that I work with that I refer people to that could help you go a little bit deeper than that. But what I'm saying to a man, as we always say, we got to be real with ourselves, and I think that's so significant. And until that point, we are willing to be real, real with our issues, and face that, we'll continue to play boyish games. You know, I said on the show that I was on last Friday, I was on the show with Angela Stribling. And I did a pre-recorded show with her. The segment was, should there be rules, you know, in dating with that, you know. And one of the things I said to the men, you know, look, I don't come for men. I just ask men to be accountable and be real. And we all fall short. Again, I get it. But it's another thing to fall short and want to constantly just stay there, you know. And that's almost like just living in mediocrity. You know what I mean? Like you just want to stay and wallow in it. And that ain't real cool. You know, at the end of the day, that's not real cool because you're better than that. What God has purpose and plan in your life is so much better than that. He wants you on the other side, but all you want to do is stay there. And let me just be real, as I said in the with the promo of the show, last I checked, sex wasn't the answer. Men think that sex ultimately is the answer. Now, whether you're single or you're married, even still, if you're married, definitely ain't the answer because a lot of times we'll self-medicate on sex just for a factor of like a needle, just for so I can have control. And a lot of times what we'll know is that, let me talk to the single brother, that's one way of you proving your masculinity in your eyes, but it really ain't, you ain't proving nothing. You're not showing that you're a man. If you want to show that you are somewhat a man or a mandingo, that means put a ring on her finger and be the true man to lead her to Christ. That's your role and your responsibility is to be fruitful and multiply so that we grow the kingdom, not destroy it. And so we have an ultimate innate responsibility as men that we continue to excel in that direction. And so we got to really truly stay focused on what the mission is and the assignment in order to do that. Then I said about the drinking piece. So as we talk about that, oftentimes we think that whether it's social drinking or whether it's just, you know, I'm hanging out, I just want to get drunk. I mean, at the end of the day, look, man, you have a bigger assignment than just drinking and drugs, you know, and that somewhat becomes a pacifier to the real root of the issue, you know. And so, again, what we really have to do is we got to get support, we got to get help if we need help. The first step is to acknowledge it, you know, that we need it, you know, and that's big. And if we can get to that place and just put aside our pride, put aside our ego, we can start moving and doing some things. Then we talked about money. Now, a lot of times we think that money is, you know, it's the end-all, be-all. You know, I had somebody say, you know, if I had more money, I'd be able to do this. Well, it probably begs to differ, you know, because money gives you some options, but it don't solve your situation. No, don't get it twisted. It doesn't make the pain go away. It just creates a pacifier for the pain. If you don't deal with your pain is going to deal with you. And so that's really important for you to really acknowledge that. You can have all the money in the world. Why do you think those folks who are the rich kids, that they're committing suicide? They got money. It ain't the issue of the money. It's that they're not willing to deal with the problem. You know, was it Lindsay Lohan? You know, normally I don't throw out names on the show, but we all know that name that was constantly in the media, what was it, in the last 24 months, constantly in and out of rehab because, she had money. But she wasn't willing to deal with the issues. The issues had her, you know. So, Brother Ed, I know that you're out there and that you're driving right now. Safe travels to you. Fellas, if you want to tune in and post a comment or anything, feel free to do so in the group chat. It's the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show on Facebook. Also, you can press 1 on your phone. I see that the callers that are out there, if you want to share a comment or a question, within the show, I'd love to hear from you. Again, just press option 1 on it. What are your thoughts? What are your comments on that? Now, here's the thing. What do we do? How should we move forward? We've got a secret. I mentioned the acknowledgement phase. I think that it's important for us to acknowledge that. And first, it's to look in the mirror, and then after you acknowledge it, what you got to say is that come truth and be real with yourself. And be willing to forgive yourself. That's the hardest thing because that guilt and that shame beats you up so much. It'll hit you upside your head with a quick two-piece before you even realize it. And it's the interesting part about it, the enemy knows how to strike your chord. He knows exactly what to do that'll lead you right back to your same situation. And even though the gentleman that I spoke of earlier, young, married with a new child on the way, he already had a child, threw away so much just for so little because the secret that he didn't deal with caught up to him. It knocked on his door. So his skeletons were talking. And sadly now, through the indictment, it leads to other things. And so what we have to realize is that you got a family, and there's so much at stake, fellas. There's so much at stake that it's not necessarily worth it if you get caught up in that spiral, because you'll chase that addiction. You'll chase that secret to the point where all you're doing is spinning your tail. And it's not going to make it better. It's going to make it worse. Again, acknowledgement, then being truthful with yourself, and getting some help. You know, getting help about it, being able to forgive yourself, dealing with that if you're in a marriage, really being able to sit down and talk to your partner. Now some people would differ. Some people would say, look, man, you'd be a fool if you shared that. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, you got to deal with that at the end of the day. Some things you take to your grave, you got to deal with that. Again, no one here has a judgment factor on you. That's up to you, whether you're a man or a woman. You know what that issue is. And you got to know at some point in time, some things will take away from the fabric and fiber of your relationship immediately. You will see some signs of rejection. But hopefully your foundation is built on the right foundation of love, forgiveness, honesty, truth, respect, those things. And if that's the case, then you may be able to share certain things. But it is a process, and you can't expect the other person just to embrace you just because you shared your truth. Jack Nicklaus said in the movie A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. Now, again, that means you got to know what you're dealing with. You got to, you know your partner. And some things are going to be devastating. Some things may get worse before it gets better. So I think that's extremely important, you know, for you to know. But here's the thing. What you don't focus on, what you don't address, will show up at some point. Let's see what the folks in the chat group have to say. Anybody that's out there having a post or comment, I see you out there. So, Brother Ed, all right, looks like you're driving still, not a problem. That's out there. So, what are your secrets? That's a question that you have to ask yourself and that you really have to deal with about it at the end of the day, you know. So, here's the thing. We're going to take a quick little break, and I'll be right back in just a minute and go back to hear the song for you. Hey, well, we're back again. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for staying patient with us. Let's talk about something real quick. I want to delve into this. I mentioned it just a few minutes ago. I mentioned about the forgiveness piece. So let's take this journey on this road, and how do we do that? How do we move past and move forward with that? And again, I think that it's important to know where you are. If you're in a relationship, that forgiveness is a two-way street, and sometimes it feels as though that it may be one way. Depending on the situation or circumstance, let's say if it was an extramarital affair, that becomes challenging. And certainly you want to seek professional counsel and help. Maybe it's pastoral counsel that you may seek to help you walk through that process and help your significant, your spouse, also get to a place where they can truly forgive and there can be reconciliation and restoration for that marriage and relationship. But it's important that you check and connect with your spirit. The spirit of you know, the essence of who you are and whose you are. For me, it's connecting with my relationship with Christ. And then once I do that, then after that process, I've got to really do a quick assessment. Is this still an issue for me? Is this still an issue? And am I dealing with, what am I dealing with, anger, rage, any of that that may show up within that process? So, you know, we got to learn how to not, how to move past that step of dealing with things and then actually going to sleep with it as you take it to bed with you. That's something that we talk about in, as in a relationship that you don't want to take it to bed. Then you got to deal with, you know, how do you get past the blame and the shame? You know, are you blaming someone for your behaviors? I always say this: look, I can't control your choices, nor can I control your response. I can only take care of mine. So I have to. You have to be honest with yourself to own your own response, or opposed to a reaction. You know, we know that response is the way that it's supposed to be. A reaction is usually negative. As a good friend and mentor, Dr. Willie Jolly, would say, you know, if you went to the doctor and the doctor came out and shared some news and said, hey, you know, we have good news. Your mom responded well to the medication. Well, that's a positive thing. But then there's a negative connotation that's associated with the word reaction, and the doctor would come out and give news to this effect. Say, hey, you know, everything didn't go so well. She reacted in an adverse way. And so we know that that's something that we have to face in relationships as well. How are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to react to it, or are you going to choose to respond to it? And truth be told, you don't know until you're in it. You know, it's one thing to say this is what I will do, but that's the case. It's like trying to drive a tractor trailer. If you've never driven one, it's a whole different story once you get up there in that rig. You know what I mean? So you can say one thing but do a total different thing when it's your turn and the spotlight's on you, you know, for that matter. Now, next step is that we talked about those two things. The next step is you have to avoid telling people what to do. You know, that's another step as well within the process. And I'm sharing something that's by Dr. Wayne Dwyer that he has as well. So this is not something that I created, but I want to share that with you. I think that's important. As in step five, he says avoid telling people what to do. Avoid thoughts and activities that involve telling people who are perfectly capable of making their own choices of what to do in your family. You know, remember that you do not own anyone. The poet Cahill Gibran reminds you, your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. Okay. So, anyway, next step is learn to go and be like water. I like that one. Learn to go and be like water. I think that's important. Rather than attempting to dominate your forcefulness, be like water. Flow everywhere there's an opening. Soften your hard edges by being more tolerant of contrary opinions. Interfere less and substitute listening for directing and telling. When someone offers you their viewpoint, try responding. I've never considered that before. Thank you. I'll give it some thought. You know, I think those are a few things. You can find that on Wayne Dwyer's, but I think part of the steps to forgiveness. And again, he's got 15 steps that you can find on his website. That you can flow with and go with, just like water. I think that's significant and it's important to do. So there are, when it comes to these things in secret, you know, the secret that you heard me say that you don't deal with comes up in a sin. And that sin thing is real because what happens, it jumps all on you and it takes you off your focus, it takes you off your mission, your assignment. You become distracted by it, and it takes you out of fellowship with Christ. And so you've got to be careful that thing that you go back to, it knows where to find you, you know, whether it's a he, she, whatever that it may be, whether it's a it, that, whatever it may be, you know, it knows how to knock on your door and find you. So anyway, that being said, listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a treat and a pleasure for tonight's show. We want to open up the door. If no one has any closing thoughts, any comments, I'm going to give mine, and we're going to be out of here tonight. It is 9:45. We're going to end a little bit early because that's not one that we necessarily need to beat up. We've talked for the last 45 minutes about the secrets, and I think that we all know what your secret is. You know, and I just challenge you as a man that's listening to the show to really focus on being truthful with yourself and to really try to find yourself to be open and honest. If you're dealing with some issues, it's now time to get help. And there's nothing wrong with getting help. In fact, there's something wrong when you don't get help, because what that does is perpetuate the lie that you're living and the lie that you're telling. And so if you really want to be better, then you've got to surround yourself by resources that can help you. Look, if you're sick, right, at the end of the day, if you were sick, you would either take some medication or you'd go see a doctor, you know, in hopes that the doctor could give you something to make the pain go away. Well, this is the thing. You are in some level of pain right now. It may not be hurting you as much, but there's some pain that's going on in your life. We all have it. We all have secrets. We all have sins. We all have issues. And so what we have to do is now take that focus and that energy and to put it where it's supposed to be. And in order to do that, we may need a third-party source to come along and help us get here on that journey. You know, a kid goes to school and learns from a teacher. The teacher teaches what they've been taught to do. And so through their experience, they know how to teach a child and to make sure that they can teach the lesson that they need to learn so that they can go to the next level. Listen, it is time now that you learn the lesson that you need to learn so that you can go to that next level and leave that secret behind and no longer so that it doesn't have a yoke or a stronghold over you anymore. It is time to destroy the yoke and to break it. And in order to do that, we've got to get true help. We've got to open up our hearts, and so that our hearts are not so hardened, but we got to kind of get out of our head, too, with this whole thing that we've been allowing to get there with this, how we see things and how we view things. Just because you had some challenges when you were 20 doesn't necessarily mean you got to keep taking those with you as you are 40, but there has to be something that changes. See, if you don't change, neither will your circumstance or your situation. So you may be a product of that environment, but you don't have to be a prisoner to it. So we all have a choice in the matter and a free will. And so now it's really about, hey, is this where I want to stay? Is this cool with me? And if it's cool with you, again, hey, that's on you. I ain't got to have any help. But I would strongly encourage and advise that you get, you know, with a partner that you all can hold each other accountable to godly counsel, you know, and then you have a mentor as well as a running partner, and then you turn around and you give help to a mentee so that you can give them the assistance to raise up into that next level. Well, that's my thoughts and comments on this whole thing on secrets, skeletons, and sins. I hope that you've heard something tonight that you will walk away with and ask yourself the question, what are my secrets? What are my issues? What are the things that I'm not willing to really talk about I'm only dealing with them on the surface level. And those things that you deal with on a surface level, you can't treat a root issue with a surface solution. And so come to the grips of saying, hey, it's okay that if I start to talk about it, it's not going to hurt me. And just remember, your past can haunt you only if you allow it to. That's tonight's show. Again, Secret Skeletons and Sins. It's been a treat and a pleasure to roll with you tonight. Thank you for sharing your time with me. I do not take it lightly. Thank you for listening to the show. We'll see you next week for next week's another segment of the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Good night, God bless, and we'll see you again. Thank you.